We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Part two of today's show, and it's really part three, but segment, like topic number two, is we're going to look at this Notre Dame football team from a standpoint of what questions still remain. Every team in the country has questions that still have to get answered coming out of the spring. Sometimes the questions are even about guys that you know are talented or have been productive, but you know, are they healthy? Are they going to transition to your system? Are they going to step into new roles? There's all types of things that play into it. But there's certainly some very big questions for both the offense and the defense. And we're going to start off with the offense as we kick off this part of the show. And I'm excited, encouraged by what I've seen from the offense so far. As I mentioned in the answers section, love the talent at running back. Love what I've seen from Jaden Greathouse. Love the talent, the physical talent at receiver. Lots of talent up front. They competed. Loads of talent at quarterback. But if you're being honest, you still have to look at this room and say, but there's still a lot of questions that need to get answered and on this side of the ball. And that's true. And it starts at quarterback. And we have a lot of questions at quarterback still. Question number one, Riley Leonard's health. What's it going to be? Look, I'm optimistic that he's going to be fine. I've talked to people around the program, and they feel that the medical team at Notre Dame has been able to identify the issues that he arrived with, get him fixed properly, and he's going to be good to go. And there's some other things they've done, you know, equipment-wise, that they feel good about it. We'll see. Look, that's great that they feel that way, but we'll see. We need to see if Riley Leonard can be the guy he was at Duke. I think it's fair to say that you can't know for sure that Riley Leonard's going to be that guy again. I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again here. If Riley Leonard is just the same guy he was in 2022 at Duke, same guy, this offense is going to be scary good because he can make plays with his arm and he can be a dynamic runner. There's no question about it. And even if he doesn't improve as a thrower in areas that I think he can and should improve as a thrower, this is a really good football player that impacts the game in ways that Notre Dame just hasn't had in several years. So if he's healthy, it's an answer. He'll be a really good football player, but we don't know that he's going to be healthy. And then, you know, how does the loss of the reps in the spring, what does it do to his development? He'll eventually get caught up, but will it be by the end of summer? Will it be by the end of fall camp? Will it be by the end of the summer? Or will it take into, you know, late October, November? Those are questions. We don't know the answer to that until we get to see him out there every day, running the offense, making reads, getting the ball where it needs to get to. those are questions we have to ask. Will he still have the same willingness to go make plays with his legs that he had at Duke after all the injuries? That's a fair question. And I don't know, we won't know the answer to that until the fall. So when you come out of the spring, you can say all you want, like I do, that Riley Leonard's a very talented player, that Riley Leonard can be a game changer at Notre Dame, and that if he's what I think he is and what I think he can be, that this offense is going to be good. But even the biggest supporter of Riley Leonard, which I am as a player, has to be willing to say, but he's still a major question mark because of the injuries.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But then there's more questions at quarterback. And so what's not a question at quarterback? What's not a question is it's a very talented room. It's a very talented room. But it's also a room that's got a lot of questions. Is Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr ready to challenge Steve Angeli? Is Steve Angeli ready to challenge Riley Leonard or step into the spotlight if Riley goes down? Again, you could be the biggest supporter of Riley Leonard and you have to be willing to admit truths. And some of the big supporters of Steve Angeli also have to be willing to admit some truths. And these truths were this: playing in the Sun Bowl with a month to prepare against a team that was missing half of its starting lineup is not the same as going to Texas A&M and going to play Florida State and going to play USC on the road and playing Louisville at home and playing in a college football playoff game. It's not the same. It's not even close. You know, that is for all the good things that Steve Angeli showed last year, can he get beyond his first read? That's still a question mark. So that's a question mark. Is he talented? Would I rather play, you know, Steve Angeli in 2024, Drew Pine? Yeah, I would. But there's still major questions there about, can he be that number one guy? Kenny Minchie, and I'm just going by age here. Kenny Minchie's another one. Loads of talent, still a major question mark. Kenny's a guy that he's gotten some first team reps this spring. He's gotten a lot of second team reps this spring. He said, from people I've talked to, from what I saw with my own eyes, he's done some really good things this spring. But he's also still has a lot to learn. Consistency is a big thing. You know, Kenny made a couple reads on Saturday that I really liked, including one not to throw a ball that, you know, you look like the defense was kind of baiting him into it. He decided not to throw it. He runs around and picks up some extra yards. But there were some misses that he had as well. He missed a seam throw that should have gone for a big play. He missed a guy down the field when he was running around. He's got to keep his eyes up the way CJ did and get the ball down the field. When I watch Kenny going through warmups, when I watch him going through individual drills, you love the way the ball comes out of his hand. I mean, just love the way it comes out of his hand. Lightning quick release, really good ball placement. But in the live fire moments, Kenny still has a lot to learn. And, you know, there was the practice where him and CJ were the only two quarterbacks because Steve was sick and Riley was out. And from what I've heard from talking to some sources, they both had some struggles, as you would expect from two young quarterbacks that are kind of thrust into a more prominent role. But with Kenny, from everyone that I've talked to around the program, they love his talent. They love his potential, but he's still got a lot of work to do if he's going to challenge Steve for that number two job and then eventually put himself in position to be the starter in 2024. When you look at CJ, he's the kid that's shown the most day one to day 11 growth. And that's also to be expected because he's a true freshman. And I know he had some work in the spring and, or I mean, in the winter, you know, he got about what, half the practices for bowl prep around there for the game, but that was completely different offense than what he's running now. So it's kind of starting over for CJ in ways that it's not starting over for Kenny and Steve and Riley, but we've seen great growth. Just like Kenny, you know, CJ throws a gorgeous ball. I mean, just an absolutely gorgeous ball. He moves around well. He's put on good weight. He's filling out in ways you hope that he can. He's shown a very good command of the offense for a freshman. He's got the ability to throw the ball down the field, which we've seen in practice and in the game on Saturday. And honestly, the most surprising thing about the game on Saturday was he was the guy that did the most to get to his second and third options in the scrimmage as a true freshman. And that has nothing to do with whether it's the second team, third team, or first team. Your read's still your read. And the willingness to go back to your third read with pressure is impressive. So that command of the offense was really, really good. And, of course, when you talk to sources around the program, they rave about CJ. They rave about Kenny as well. And there's a lot of things that they like about Steve. So no one questions the talent of these kids. Nobody. No one in this chat. No Notre Dame fan should question if Notre Dame has a lot of talent at quarterback. They have loads of talent at quarterback. This is, as somebody said, I think Basin Domer said, this is Notre Dame's best quarterback room in years. I'll throw a caveat. It's the most talented quarterback room they've had in years when you go four deep. But will it be the best? That's still the question mark. And that's really where this conversation is at. Is it a talented room? Very. Is it a deep room? Very. Is it a room that I feel if they play to their potential can be part of Notre Dame competing for a championship, at least making a deep run of the playoff? Absolutely. Can I tell you today on April 17th, or can I tell you no matter what happens in the blue gold game that I know for a fact that all four of those guys can go out there and be stars? No, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. There's a lot we still have to learn with those guys. And so it's a great question to have. It is, because it's different than in past years where you're like, who's going to play quarterback and can that guy win you football games? I'm not worried about that. The question is, to what level can they play? And that's the biggest question mark that I have. And so we're going to have to find out where they are. But I think this spring was great because, look, Steve Angeli was challenged this spring. How's he going to answer that challenge? Kenny Minchie was challenged this spring. How's he going to answer that challenge? CJ Carr was challenged this spring. How's he going to answer that challenge? And so they were all put in some very uncomfortable situations this spring, and they're going to be tested. And now what do you do about it? What do you do about where you are? However the depth chart's aligned post-spring, to me, is irrelevant. It's about who takes what they learned this spring and runs with it. That's who's going to win the number two quarterback job. And I could see all three of those guys earning it. I really could. And, you know, I may have my personal preferences about Kenny and CJ being more talented than Steve and all these type of things, but they all do some really good things that make you excited to where there's at least a level of a floor with all three of them that you feel like there's a lot of teams that no one can beat, no matter which one of those guys can wins the job. The question is then, but who can take you to that next level? And we don't have an answer to that yet. Part of it is because we need to see them in games, but the other part of it is the guys that we saw are all still developing. But I'll say this. I think all three of them are better today than they were coming into the first day of camp. And the younger they are, the more they developed. I mean, Steve only can get so much better in year three. Kenny can only get so much better in year two. CJ obviously has the most room to get better because he's the new guy. And that reflected kind of the growth we saw from them all spring from the quarterbacks. Let's get to the next question on offense. And really this ties into the quarterbacks a little bit. And we still don't know what this offense is going to look like. And I'll be brief with this point, as brief as I'm capable of being at this point in time. You guys know that brevity is not a strength of mine. But I love what I saw at running back. We like things at receiver. But I still don't know that we know what the identity of this offense is because of some of the questions that we're going to have. You know, we still don't know if Riley Leonard's healthy or not. And if you're someone who says, okay, if Riley's not healthy, I'm fully confident that Steve Angeli can go win. All right, fine. If he's not healthy, I'm fully confident that Kenny Minchie can win. Okay, cool. If CJ Carr has to play instead of Riley Leonard, I'm fully confident that he can win. All right, that's all good. But here's what you have to be willing to admit. The offense is going to look a lot different in a lot of different ways depending on which one of those four guys is the starter. And so that's a question mark. I mean, we don't know. If Riley Leonard's the quarterback, the run game's going to look a lot different than it is if Steve Angeli's the quarterback or if Kenny Menchie's the quarterback or if CJ Carr's the quarterback, because those guys are all throwers. They have some mobility to varying degrees. You know, Kenny can do some things with his legs and Steve can do some things with his legs and CJ can do some things with his legs. But none of those guys are guys where defenses are like, hey, man, you got to make sure this guy doesn't beat you with his legs. No, those are guys that, you know, scramble around and find somebody to throw to. They're not guys that are going to regularly be threats to go rush for 100 yards like Riley Leonard is. It's just going to be different. Not better, not worse. That's not the point I'm making here. It's just different. And then how that what happens there then impacts, are you more 11 personnel? Are you going to be more 12 personnel? Are you going to be more balanced? If Riley Leonard's my quarterback, I want to spread the field as much as I can. If Steve Angeli's my quarterback, I may need to live in the 12 personnel world a little bit more. If Kenny Minchie or CJ Carr are my quarterbacks, especially Kenny, I'm going to want to be in a little bit more 11 personnel. If CJ's my quarterback because of his skill set, I'm going to mix up 11 and 12 personnel, but I'm going to live a little bit more in the 12 personnel and the 21 personnel a little bit more than I would in 11 personnel relative to where I am with Riley Leonard. And so those are all things that are going to get impacted by by what happens at quarterback, not just who the starter is, but then also who the backups are. And so that's why I say we still don't know the makeup of it. You know, what's going to happen at some other O-line positions? What receivers really come into this? Because, like, look, there was a huge battle at receiver. And I'll get into that more. And we still don't know who are going to be those guys. Who those guys are is going to determine the shape of the offense. And what I mean by this is, and I'll get a little bit into this more as I say the receivers, but let's say the two best receivers coming out of the spring or coming into out of the fall on the outside is either Deion Colzier, or Bo Collins, and then Jaden Thomas on the outside. They're better than Chris Mitchell, better than Micah Gilbert, better than Cam Williams, better than KK Smith, whatever. That duo is going to look a lot different for how you build your pass game than if your starting lineup includes Chris Mitchell or a KK Smith or, you know, like a Bo Collins, KK, Chris Mitchell duo is going to look a lot different than a Jaden Thomas, Deion Colzier duo on the outside. Not better, not worse, different. And so, you know, what happens if the second tight end is just so good in fall camp that you've got to be more 12 personnel? It's going to look different. How do you incorporate the two back situation? So that's why I say is because we don't have a lot of answers specifically on at receiver and quarterback, and there's still questions on the offensive line, it's hard for us to truly know what the identity of this offense is going to be. I can tell you some scheme things that I know for a fact we're going to see. I've done videos on the run game that I know we're going to see. I've done some stuff on motions that I know we're going to see. And then I've already broken down what I think the bread and butter pass play is going to be for Notre Dame. It was the bread and butter pass game for them last season at LSU. It was the bread and butter pass game for them in the spring game or in the scrimmage. I've got a full 30-minute breakdown of that particular play on the message board, the premium message board. So like, but scheme doesn't equal identity. Scheme is just that. It's scheme. It's just plays we're running. But the emphasis of those plays is going to change depending on what your strengths are as a football team. What you tag with it from an RPO standpoint is going to be about. There's so many different things that you know kind of gets into have really anything to do with identity. And so that's the part that you look at and say, we have to learn a lot of that. And so until we see that, you're not going to really know what the identity of this team is just yet. And so we have stuff to learn that. And then these next two question marks are going to have a big say in that, especially the second one. I'm going to get to the receivers last. Next, I want to talk about the offensive line. There's still a lot of questions on the offensive line, and it's twofold, right? The one is you found answers, as we talked about in the first segment, where you feel really good about Charles Jagasaw's potential and talent. You feel really good about where Ashton Craig is. You feel really good about where Billy Stroud is. But all three of those guys have work to do. That's part number one. Part number two is you've got to find some answers at right tackle and left guard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Left guard, I'm a little bit more confident in being at least better than it was last year for one of two reasons. Number one, well, really one of three reasons. Number one is if they have a real battle and Pat Coogan wins that battle, not as given something, and I'm not saying I'm making a very clear point, because people often think that every football coach out there gives every player an honest opportunity and always makes the right decisions with starters. They don't. They don't. Even the best coaches make wrong decisions. They do. I mean, Nick Saban's had to bench players at times, and Urban Meyer's had to bench players at times and fire coaches at times. Why would Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, ever have to fire a coach? Well, because they're smart. They like to win. Yeah, but then why'd they hire these guys who aren't that good to begin with? Because coaches make mistakes. You think if it's there, that's not there. And so if there's a legitimate battle and Pat Coogan wins it, meaning he goes out there and says, I'm the best guy here, then they're going to be better at left guard, easily better at left guard. Andrew Gilmore made a great point. Michigan going with Drew Henson over Tom Brady. Great. That's one of a million examples and a very good one. But at left guard, if Pat Coogan wins that job, guess what? Pat Coogan in 2024 is going to be a lot better than Pat Coogan in 2023. The experience he gained last year is going to make him better. He's going to be older. He's going to have another year in the weight room. And he'll be a better player than he was last year. And if he's not, then he'll get beat out by Rocco Spindler. If Rocco Spindler beats out Pat Coogan, it means that Rocco's a better player than he was last year. Because I don't see Pat Coogan regressing. Nothing that I've seen from Pat Coogan this spring tells me he's going to regress as a football player. He's at the very least going to be the same guy he was last year, just a year older, which makes him at the very least slightly better if he's healthy. So if Rocco beats him out, Rocco's going to have to be better than he was in 2023. And so, again, you feel like the baseline, the floor is going to be better. And if Pat plays better and Rocco still beats him out, then that means Rocco really took off, and that's where you can get real excited. But that hasn't happened yet. I'm making a point. And if those two guys both don't step up, then there's going to be some young guy that gets that shot, whether it's a Sullivan Abshur or Sam Pendleton, whoever that may be. So either way, left guard is still a question mark for me, but I'm confident there's a level of confidence I have that the play is going to be better because of those scenarios. Either Pat plays better or somebody beats him out. Either way, you're going to be better there. The position that I'm more concerned about right now is right tackle. That's probably, I would say, I have to think about this one. I would say that is probably the biggest question mark I have about this football team. You could talk about depth at safety and you know, depth at other positions, but if we're talking about for a starting position, I look at the defense. I don't care who starts at big end. I don't care if it's Josh Burnham or RJ Open or Bryce Young. Don't care. They're going to be good. I don't care which one of the great line talents at linebacker they have starts. I really don't care. I think they're going to be good. I still don't know what to expect from Jordan Clark, but even if Jordan Clark's just what he was at Arizona State, that's a quality football player that you're going to be fine there. Yeah, there's questions at receiver and will this guy get better? Will that guy get better? I mean, but you still feel like I kind of know what they are. It's how good will they be? Right tackle is the only position that I look at and say there's a chance that that position could be problematic. Now, a couple counters to that is we have seen Tosh Baker start a game with this lineup, and he played relatively well against Oregon State. And now I've talked a lot about how Oregon State was missing half the starting lineup. Their D-line started. I mean, they were all there. Their starting D-line was all there. And Tosh didn't play great, but he didn't play poor. He held his own, and the offense went out there, racked up a bunch of yards, and scored 40 points. Okay, but that's one game where you had a whole month to prepare for. It's not the same as week after week after week after week after week. You have to kind of be that guy. And Tosh has been, somebody just asked in the chat, you know, Andrew Gilmore, the fair question, I'm surprised Tosh Baker isn't locking it down. Well, the thing is, Andrew, I think he has so far. The concern I have, however, is that I don't think he's played that great in the moments we've seen. I've heard also from some sources that were at other practices that he's had some issues this spring handling some of the, you know, Jordan Patoho and Josh Burnham and some of these guys. Now, there's two ways to look at it. One is, well, maybe that means that Jordan Patoho and Josh Burnham are prepared to be dudes in 2024. Could be. But you just kind of would expect a 6'8" guy that's a senior to just, you know, a fifth-year senior, actually, to be a little bit more consistent. And that's really what we need to see from Tosh. So I don't think Tosh is going to be a liability if he's starting right tackle. I don't. I know that some people think that he will, and there's going to be some plays here, some plays there where he just gets beat. I don't think he's going to be a liability. The question, however, is can he be anything more than just average? That's kind of where the baseline is for me. And I don't know that average right tackle is going to be something you want to have when you're playing Texas A&M and when you're playing Louisville and the ends they're going to have and when you're playing Florida State and the edge players they're going to have, or even USC. And then you definitely don't want that in the postseason. So it's fair to ask, how good can Tosh Baker be? And can Emil Wagner challenge him at all? I don't really care who wins that job. I know some people are like, I hope Emil wins it or what. I don't care. I just need whoever wins that job to play better and be more consistent. All I need at right tackle is a solid, steady, do your job every play guy. That's it. Like, truly, guys, if Tosh Baker is just a steady player that's just does his job, doesn't dominate, doesn't flash, like, this guy's going to get drafted in the third round next year. He's played so well. If he does, I mean, that's awesome, but I don't need that. If Ashton Craig is what we think he is, and Billy Shrouth is what he think he is, and if Charles Jagasol is what we think he is, and the left guard is better, and I think it will be, how much better? Don't know. That's why I just brought it up in the question section. But if all we get at right tackle, whether it's Tosh Baker, whether it's Emil Wagner, if all they do is just be steady, do your job every snap, guys. I don't need you to dominate anybody. Just do your job. If they do that, this line, I think, is going to be pretty good. because you won't have that same vulnerability where you're just, you know, last year there were times where Blake would have issues where he just was a vulnerable, he was a liability, or Pat at times is a liability. You saw it from Rocco at times where he was a liability. You saw it from Zeke at times. He was a liability. You can't have that. That has to get eliminated from this line. And that's why I say, I mean, I look at Clemson in 2018, for example. They had like a fourth round pick on that and maybe a couple fourth round picks, a fifth round pick. Their starting left tackle went undrafted from that 18 offensive line. But that was a really good offensive line. Why? Because they were veteran kids that knew what they were doing, and they played well as a unit, and they just kind of did their job. They just did their job snap after snap after snap and then let the athletes take over. That's where I'm looking at it. Like, because as Notre Dame fans, we're so used to Notre Dame having high draft picks at both tackle spots that you kind of think that's what's needed. And it's great, but if you're good enough everywhere else and all you have at right tackle is a guy that just does his job, that just do your job snap after snap, they're going to still have a really good offensive line. The concern is if they do their job, blow an assignment, and your quarterback's getting drilled. Do your job, just get whipped with a speed rush, quarterback gets drilled. Do your job, defensive end slants right across your face and blows up a third and one play. Then you're a liability now. And so those are the things that have to be avoided. And I don't know that right tackle has played well enough this spring to make me feel like it won't have those moments. And that's why this group is still, to me, a question mark. I do believe Tosh Baker's capable of being a steady player. I do. He just has to show it. He has to do it. There's nothing about him that I watch and say, he can't be that guy because he lacks this. What he lacks is consistency. He doesn't lack talent and ability, and that's going to be the key. If Tosh can answer those questions, then I'm going to feel very good about where they are at right tackle going into the 2024 season. I'm back and forth on this right tackle position, and when I look at it, it really, to me, does hold the key to this whole thing, because when you have a position that's not consistent, it impacts everything else around it. We saw this at right guard in 2021. We saw this at left tackle and left guard in 2021. It's like, why did the offensive line become so much better in 2021 in the last 5-6 games when they put Andrew Krstofek at left guard and Joe Alt at left tackle? Was it because Joe Alt played like a dominant number one draft pick at the end of the 2021 season player? No, it's because what Andrew and Joe did more than anything else is they just did their job every play. They brought a level of stability to the line. And even though it wasn't dominant and it didn't go out there and house people and just blow people off the line, what happened when he got stepped into the lineup is there was a level of stability. And so then when you got in trouble, it'd be like Kane Madden wasn't athletic enough to block a guy. Right? Like that would be where you'd get in trouble. But they just kind of brought okay, you can relax. Jack felt more comfortable in the pocket when those guys took over. The run game was a little bit more steady when those guys took over. Nothing special happened. They just were steady. And that's where I look at with Tosh is if he can just be that with the talent they have, they're going to be pretty good. In it's just like I said, the question got to get answered. If it doesn't, I think Notre Dame has to consider one of two things. Number one is moving Selvin Abscher over there and let him compete. Or B, you need to really strongly consider pushing the issue a little bit with Gerby Lambert. Because here's my point. And I know people have pushed back on this in the past, and I understand it, but here's my point. If you're going to have inconsistency at a position anyway, like, look, if Tosh or Emil are steady, do their job guys every snap, not great, not dominant, not future day one, day two draft picks, just do their job every snap, play them, start them. I'm good with that. Because as a quarterback, I know I want stability. I want to know that when I drop back, I don't have to worry about my right tackle getting whooped. I don't have to worry about my left tackle getting whooped or my left guard getting whooped. I know that they're going to do their jobs. when I have a position where I'm not sure, is this the snap where this guy gets his face beat in or gets blown off the ball or just completely gets driven into me or just gets beat with a speed rush, you're going to start kind of peeking towards that when you get into key situations. That's just human nature. I don't care who it is. Even the best quarterbacks have that happen to them. So if you're going to have that, if you're going to have that inconsistency, then you might as well put the most talented guy on the field. Like it makes sense. If you're going to have a guy at that position that's going to blow assignments, going to get beat with a speed rush, you might as well put the guy that also has a chance to be dominant when he does it right. And that's Gurbi Lambert. That's where I'm at on that. So those guys, to me, need to be able to show a consistency of effort and execution in order to hold down that job. If not, Notre Dame is going to have to consider. And it could also be Selvin Abscher. I could see Selvin Abscher being that guy as well. Like, look, yeah, he got beat three or four times in pass game, but so would the other guys have gotten beat. But, man, did you see that down block he had on that pin and pull play where he just drove the five technique off the ball and opened up this huge run lane? Or did you see him destroy the three technique or the five technique on the inside backside of that inside zone? And Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price just cut right back inside of him for a 40-yard gain. Boy, that was beautiful. But with Tosh, I don't know that Tosh can make those kind of dominant blocks. And I'm okay with that if I know he's doing his job every snap. But if he's going to be blowing assignments and getting whooped and just getting destroyed off the edge by speed rushes, then I'm going to go with the young guy that can give me those dominant reps. Does that make sense? I mean, is that kind of a fair thing to point out? I want steadiness. But if I'm not going to get steadiness, at least give me dominant. Give me the guy that can have moments of dominance. And I think that's Gurbi Lambert or Selvin Abscher. Those are the two guys I think that have the best chance of that. So if Tosh or Emil want to answer that bell and be that guy, they have to, at the very minimum, give me consistency. And if they do that, then right tackle is fine. I think this offensive line is going to have a chance to be really, really good. If they don't, then I want to see the younger player get out there. Will Joe Rudolph be willing to do that? Don't know. We'll see. But that's kind of where it's at. And that's why it's the biggest question mark. I'm going to wrap up with the receiver for the offensive side of the ball. When I look at the Notre Dame wide receiver room, part of me is very excited about what I've seen. Part of me says this is still a work in progress because there's a few things that we're seeing this spring. In drills, I love what I'm seeing. When they're doing RVA, routes versus air, when they're doing one-on-ones and things along those lines, you say, boy, there's a lot to like. They play with confidence. They're sharp with their routes. The athleticism is really good. They're catching the ball very well. But what I've seen in the couple team situations, especially on Saturday, is there's still work to be done from an assertiveness standpoint with the receivers. I saw not enough competing for the ball on the outside. I saw too much where there's just still some uncertainty of, okay, how am I going at this guy? Jaden Greathouse, completely opposite. But with some of the other guys, there just was still a little bit of a let it go, man. Just like let it go. Just let it rip. If you're going to run the wrong route, run that wrong route 100 miles an hour. Didn't see some of that on Saturday. And so the thing that I've talked a lot about, for those of you who've been on the show for a while, there's a word that I've used with the receiving corps for years as a complaint. And what's that word? Urgency. The receiving corps at Notre Dame for years has played with no urgency. Now, there's times where you want to have delay releases and stutter releases and you're timing things up and, you know, I got to kind of delay because I need to let things clear out. I'm coming on and under. I'm trying to be steady with my moves. I'm trying to set you up for something. So I've got to have a little bit of patience with how I come off the ball or how I get to the top end. There's always a time for alternating your speed. In any receiver with any sort of nuance as a route runner understands there's a time and a place to go 100 miles an hour. There's a time and a place where I got to throttle things down. There's a time and a place where I'm setting you up with some slowness to then hit you with speed. There's all types of nuance involved in being a route runner. But everything you do has to have some level of urgency. If I'm coming off the line slower, unless I'm running like a little, just kind of I'm coming off, letting it clear, and I'm just turning around and stopping. If I'm doing any kind of delay out, any kind of delay in, any kind of delay cross, any kind of post-snap switch, anything like that where there's some level of I got to time it right, once you get to the point where you're getting to your top end, you're getting out of your break, you've cleared underneath or over top of what else is going on, you got to have some urgency to get where you need to get to play with that speed, to say, I'm going to outrun this guy. And there's so many things at Notre Dame we've seen where guys just played slow. Not guys that are slow, but they play slow. There were games where Kevin Austin would look unguardable. And then there were games where you're like, this guy should not be on scholarship at Notre Dame. This is a kid that ran a low 4.4, that's 6'2", long arms, that can't make an NFL roster. Why? He doesn't know how to play the game. He doesn't understand all the nuances of the position, and that's because he wasn't taught it at Notre Dame. That's what I believe. And there just was so much of that in past years where you just felt like, man, these guys just don't play with any urgency. They are never full speed. And it's guys that we know have speed, but they never played at full speed. Chris Tyree comes over, and he's the only guy that really showed any moments last year where he played at full speed with any kind of consistency, and he was a former running back. And that's a problem. And so there's still a little bit of that that's going to need to get worked out by Mike Brown. And we're seeing it. I mean, he emphasizes it in drills. We see it in RVA. So it's coming along, but it's not there yet. And you're also, we didn't see Bo Collins this spring. Jaden Harrison was banged up towards the end. There's no Logan Saldate yet. Jaden Harrison was banged up at the end. You know, Jaden Thomas wasn't healthy for most of the spring. So there's still a lot of question marks at receiver. And when you went out to the final game, I mean, we didn't see Jordan Faison this spring, you know, in pads, not once. Well, we saw him in pads, but it was lacrosse pads. So there's still a lot of things that have to get answered there. But I can say this. I like the talent. There's a lot of options to choose from. But there's just another level this group has to get to in the fall. And that's going to determine whether this is a good group. That, like, the receiving core right now, as it is, of what I know about this group. And I was talking with Brian Smith about this the other day. And, you know, right now we believe, like, this is a top 20 to 25 receiver room right now. With what we know of Jaden Greathouse, with what we know of Jordan Faison, with what we know of Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey and Chris Mitchell and Bo Collins and Jaden Harrison, of what we know about them, if all of them are just who they've been in the past, this is a top 20 to 25 receiver room. I think you can make a case it's a top 15 receiver room right now. I would say probably 15 to 20 right now. You've got a 1,000-yard receiver in Chris Mitchell, who played at a group of five school, did have one game against a power five school last year, caught 6 balls for 157 yards on the road against an SEC team. You've got Bo Collins, who's had, you know, was a 30-catch, 500-yard guy last year. You've got Jaden Harrison, who was a 28-catch, 400-plus-yard guy last year. And we know what Faison and Mitchell did. We know what Jaden Thomas has done when he's healthy. And I'm assuming he won't be healthy, just for the sake of argument. That's a top 20-ish room. But if Chris Mitchell can translate his play at FIU to Notre Dame, if Jaden Greathouse is the guy that in the fall that we've seen all spring, if Jordan Faison gets back to what he was in the fall, if Bo Collins can make the transition I think he's going to make in this offense, now all of a sudden you're talking about a group that, and then you've got the two freshmen show that they're able to help him play, because I didn't count them on what we know, because we don't know a lot about them. They're still freshmen. Micah Gilbert's had a great spring, didn't look all that great in the scrimmage. But again, that's okay. It's a part of the development process. Cam Williams hasn't had a great spring, looked pretty good in his scrimmage, right? So there's all levels of how is this group going to be. But if I believe the potential is there for this to be a top 10 receiver room, but they're not there yet. There's a lot of work that needs to get decided before they can say, hey, they're a top 10 room. And somebody had mentioned, JLG mentioned, once I had him at 12, I think it was like, I saw that tweet, 12, I was comfortable with where they were there. I thought that was a little high. There's a couple groups I would put ahead of them if we're talking about what we know. That was a bit of a projection ranking, and I'm okay with that. I think this group can jump inside the top 10 if they can make that transition. We still need to see more from Chris Mitchell. Good spring of growth, now take that next step. We need to see Bo Collins get here and do what I think he's capable of. We need to see Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey please be healthy. We need to see what Jordan Faison, what his role is going to be. When Jordan Faison comes back and Jaden Harrison is healthy, what does that mean for Jaden Greathouse? We know he's going to be the starting slot. But does he also play maybe some more outside? Does he play some in the boundary? I mean, how are they going to use Jaden Greathouse? So there's still a lot of questions about the receiving core. I love the potential. I love the talent. I think this group has a chance to be really good. Right now, it's a top 20 room. That's pretty good. That's better than what we've seen in past years, and I fully expect this room to be better than what we've seen in past years. But that's not the standard, right? The goal isn't, like, I'm not giving Mike Brown Coach of the Year awards because they were better than what they've been in past years. That's a low bar. The question is, can Mike Brown develop them into being a group that you can go compete for a championship with? That's the standard. I think Mike Brown's capable of coaching that. We've seen him do it before. But it's about now get them there in year one. And that's going to be the question. But I do like the talent. I do like where they're at. And that's where I'm at on offense. What shape are they taking? What shape are they going to take? Still an unknown. Can Riley Leonard get healthy and get back to the player he was, if not an even better version of that? Don't know. What's the depth chart at quarterback going to look like? Still have questions about that. Is the right tackle play going to get better? We don't know. Who's going to be the left guard? Can Pat Coogan get better? Will he get pushed? Does that make him better? Does he get beat out? Still a question mark. How will the line play as a unit? Still a question mark. And the same thing, a receiver. We know who the guys are. We know there's a lot of talent, but can they take that next step and become those type of next level players? Still a work in progress. And so that remains to be seen. We're going to finish up with the defense next, but before we do, folks, just a reminder, if you haven't already done so, do me a solid, hit that like button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. And if you've not done so, go to them. I've seen about 3 or 4 people sign up for the message boards during the show because there's some intel on there. We're going to have some more breakdown videos coming up. Ryan's going to have a lot from this weekend about the players on campus. You're going to definitely want to check all that out at boards.irishbreakdown.com.